Thank you. Okay, so before, let me start by stating the main theorem. So the situation which I would like to consider is the following. We have a submersion of manifold P onto a manifold B, and we assume that the fibers of the submersion are complete Riemannian manifolds. So don't want to make any assumptions about metric on the manifold P, so we have only fiber-wise metric. Okay, and assume that we have an entire groupoid which, well, for the rest of the talk, I will mostly assume to be just a discrete group, as it doesn't make any difference, really, which acts on all the situations. So it acts on the base, on the total space of the fibration, submersion, commutes with the submersion, and preserves metric on the fibers. Assume also that we have a family of Dirac type operators which act along the fibers of the submersion. Okay, so again, for specifics, let's assume that we have even dimensional fibers, so I will consider only even situations, and to simple annotation, assume that our operators act, well, that we have a spin structure on the fibers, and our operators act on, well, sections of a spin bundle twisted with some coefficient bundle. In general, everything which I will say extends to the general case. And we also would like to assume that this family is invariant with respect to the action of this group or groupoid. Okay. So under this condition, well, we have the following objects. So first of all, we have smooth densities defined on both manifold P and manifold P. So in other words, these are differential forms which are twisted with the orientation bundle if the manifold is not orientable. Now, using the action of group on P, we can form group complex of gamma with coefficients in densities. So it would be actually bicomplex of group differential and Deram differential acting on densities, and we form a total complex of this bicomplex. And also we can form a cross product of smooth compactly supported functions on P by the group gamma, and take a periodic cyclic complex of this algebra. So the only kind of cyclic complex which I will consider will be periodic complexes. Okay? Well, we have a map phi defined by Kohn, which maps this topological part, which is group complex with coefficients and densities, into the cyclic, periodic cyclic complex of the cross product. So let me just notice that this complex is should be sort of as a purely topological object that really computes homology of the homotopy quotient, twisted with the orientation, if needed. And we can write a similar map for the base manifold B. Okay. On the other hand, well, following Victor Nister and his work was later extended by Kuhn, Squillen, and others, we can define, well, first of all, we could have using operator D, we can define an element in the bivariant K theory of this algebra. And moreover, we can actually define an element in the smooth version of this bivariant K theory of the corresponding smooth algebra. So we can then define a bivariant Chern character of this element. Now, what this is, I will give a definition later in this talk, but for now, what's important is that this bivariant Chern character contains all the relevant index information about the family D. In other words, knowing it, we can compute index of this family D twisted with, well, as a coefficient, we use any projective module over smooth functions over P cross product with gamma. So we'll see that such twisting coefficients can come from bundles on P, or can come in general from any projective module. So what I would like to do this talk is to explain how to compute the action of this bivariant Chern character on at least some of the elements of this cyclic homology. So the map phi, which well maps here, embeds this geometric, well, topological complex inside this complex, and well, the image in general is not everything. So when group gamma is non-trivial, the images is on the level of cohomology is just a direct summon, but well, it's an important one. So my main result is the calculation of the action of Bavarian churn character on the elements which are obtained through MacPhy. Okay, so here on the left hand we have purely topological parts. So here we have pullback of currents, which we can do since our fibers are have orientation. So this is operation dual to the integration on the fiber. And we can also define equivariant A-hat genus of this bundle and equivariant churn character of the our coefficient bundle. Okay, so the operation of the arrow on the left is just pullback of currents and multiplication by this characteristic class. Or more precisely by certain concrete differential form which represents it. On the other hand, on the right hand side we have a bivariant churn character, and my claim is that this diagram is commutative up to homotopy, homotopy being the chain homotopy of complexes. Okay, so let me give some examples that show what the theorem gives in some well-known cases. And probably the most basic example is a case when there is no group involved. We just have a fibration. It seems that the total space is compact, so vibration, a submersion is a vibration in this case, and we can define an index of this family, which will be an element of K-theory of the base. Now, as was promised before, this index is related, in a sense, to bivariant churn character, or more precisely, churn character of this index, which is differential form on the base, which we can think about as an element of the cyclic homology complex of smooth function of the base, is related to bivariant churn character in a very simple manner. On the space P being compact, it has a canonical element in K-theory represented by the function 1. And it has a corresponding element in cyclic homology. So if we act by churn character, by bivariant churn character on this element 1, we do get churn character of this family. Okay, so if we follow through this diagram, in this case we obtain this classical equality, or more precisely what we obtain is that pairing of each of the sides with arbitrary current on B is the same. Okay, which in this case is sufficient to conclude that both sides are the same. Okay. So my next example would be similar situation, but not necessarily compact total space, in which case we don't in general have an index in the base, right? So it's enough to think about case when B is a point, in general we won't have an index. So what we can deduce from commutativity of the diagram which I mentioned in this case is the following. We can pick two bundles over the total space which are the same outside a compact set. We can twist our operator with these bundles. So to do this, we need to choose a connection on each bundle, and we need to choose the same connection on each of the bundles, or rather the same outside each of the compact sets. Okay, so then we get two operators, which are two families of operators, rather, which coincide outside compact set, and in this case we can define the relative index. For example, if we have just one manifold rather than family, we can just cut out this compact part out of each of them on which these operators are different and glue these two compact parts together. We'll get one compact manifold and one operator. We can glue it since they coincide outside this compact set. So for families one has to be a little bit more careful, but still one can do it. And in this case we again get an index, relative index for this operator twisted with two bundles, and we can compute churn character of this index. And it's given by this formula. So probably the next example is the most important one. It is when the action of the group gamma on the total space P is free proper co-compact. In other words, so we do have a good quotient, which is a compact manifold. So what we obtain in this case is Kohn's index theorem. And we just mentioned that it has important particular cases. First of all, higher gamma index theorem of Kohn-Moskowitz, which probably was initial motivation for all of this, as well as some extension of this one is due to Victor Nister, as well as Tuksin Hujian. So in this case, we can construct an index which will be an element of the K-theory of this algebra. And here R stands for the auxiliary algebra of matrices with rapidly decaying coefficients. Okay. So we can explicitly represent index as an idempotent in this algebra. And now our goal in this case is, well, following Kohn's index theorem, is to compute Chern character of this index, or more precisely pairing of the Chern character of this index, which will be element in cyclic homology with everything which arrives in the cyclic cohomology via map phi. Okay. But in this case, this is actually gives a complete information about the index, since if the action of gamma on P is free and proper, then pairing with elements which don't arrive, which don't get to the cyclic homology via map phi, is trivial anyway. Okay. So to deduce it from the statement I made, I need first to connect the Chern character of this index with the bivariant Chern character. And the connection is the following one. Well, in this case, our quotient manifold is a nice smooth compact manifold. So we have, again, an element 1 in the case theory of the corresponding algebra. Now the algebra of functions, continuous functions on the quotient and algebra and the cross product algebra are Morita equivalent. And so we can represent the same class of 1 by a projection, or rather probably difference of two projections in matrix over this algebra. Now, how to construct this projection explicitly? So we can choose a smooth compactly supported function phi on P such that shifts of its square would give us a partition of unity. And define projection by this formula. So this would be my notation for, say, generic element in the cross product. U sub G would denote this dummy element in the group. Okay, and phi times phi shifted by G will be a smooth function. Again, superscript here denotes the action of the group, which is a left action on function. So one verifies that this is a projector and that the action of the bivariant Chern character on this projection, on Chern character of this projection, does give an index of our operator. So in this case, we get the statement of the Kohn's theorem, which expresses pairing of the index of D with element in cyclic homology, which are obtained from the map phi. And so the result is the following. First of all, we have our submersion, and fibers of it form a foliation when we pass to quotient. Then we have Chern character of bundle V. Again, more precisely, it's a bundle which is obtained from V on the quotient. And now P star, the map phi star, did appear before. It was a pullback map from the homotopy quotient of B by gamma to the homotopy quotient of P by gamma. Now, since the action of gamma on P is nice, homotopy quotient of P by gamma is the same as, well, up to homotopy, the same as the quotient. Okay, so this is the element of the homology of the quotient, used in this way. Okay. So now with this examples at hand, I would like to actually before proceeding to the proof, let me just mention that probably the main motivation of this Kohn's index theorem was its relation to foliations. So, say briefly is this precise situation which one encounters if one tries to compute homological terms index for a family of leaf-wise operators. Namely, one needs to choose a complete transversal to a foliation, and out of this data one can form an Etal groupoid. So this is an example in particular which explains why just groups are not enough for us. One forms an Etal groupoid as well as certain submersion on which this groupoid acts, and leaf-wise family forms a family of fiber-wise operators on the submersion, which is invariant with respect to this groupoid. But another thing which this example shows is why we really need to look at submersions and not just vibrations. This is what one can encounter here. Okay. So now for the rest of the talk, I would like to describe how one proves this result. So and the idea of the proof is to use a superconnection, and in a manner which is similar to other heat equation or superconnection proof of index theorems. Namely, we use some auxiliary expression which will involve heat kernels of the superconnection, and what it is I will define later, which goes here diagonally. And then, so how does the standard heat equation proof of index theorem, standard index theorem for Dirac type operator works? One writes heat kernel of the square of this Dirac operator and then observes first at a short time behavior of this heat kernel has a very nice local description, and second at the large time, well, analyzing what happens at the large times, one sees that it is an index. So in a sense, this proof is similar, though there are certain differences. So first of all, using heat kernel superconnection, we construct this diagonal map, which is plays the role of Mackenzinger formula here. And then we prove separately that each of this triangular diagram is commute. So the commutativity of the upper diagram is, well, in a sense, quite parallel to what happens in the classical case. Namely, one shows that if one rescales the superconnection, which is a standard procedure, this theory, the map doesn't change, well, the homotopy class of this map doesn't change. And then one can see that one can just analyze behaviors at short times, and in the limit one does get precisely the composition of these two maps. So the commutativity of the upper triangle is essentially short time limit argument. On the other hand, commutativity of the lower triangle cannot be shown by considering behavior at a large time, and this is a phenomenon which is already quite well known from the index theory of foliations. Namely, the problem is that for such a family of operators, on not necessarily compact fibers, there might not be a gap in the spectrum near zero in our family. So the large time behavior is hard to analyze, though perhaps it is possible, but here we take a different way, and in a sense this proof of commutativity of lower triangle is inspired by proof of, let's say, analogous statement in another proof of another superconnection proof of Kohn's index theorem, which was obtained earlier in our joint work with John Watt. So let me start by explaining how precisely one constructs this Mackenzinger type map. So to do this, as promised, we need to use a superconnection. So let me briefly explain what it is. So we start by considering an infinite dimensional bundle over our base space B, such that fiber over each point is just made of sections of bundle is script in which our operator acts over this point, and which sections we consider well either smooth or L2 depending on the context. So let me be non-specific at this point. So the first step consists of constructing a connection on this infinite dimensional bundle. So in other words, we need to be able to differentiate sections of this infinite dimensional bundle along vector fields on the base. Now, what is a section of this infinite dimensional vector bundle? It is really some kind of function on the total space P. So how do we differentiate along the vector field on the base? We need to somehow lift the vector field on the base to a vector field on the total space. So in order to do this, we choose a horizontal distribution at every point. So at every point of P, we choose a subspace of the tangent bundle, which will be complementary to the vertical space. This would allow us to lift vector field from base to, from B to P, and would allow us to define a connection on this infinite dimensional bundle. So now what's important here is that everything which I said depends in a serious way on the choice of this horizontal distribution. Okay, so this allows us to define a connection. And now to construct a super connection, we add to this connection certain endomorphisms of this infinite dimensional bundle. Now, which endomorphisms of this infinite dimensional bundle we allow? Well, they have to be pseudo-differential operators in our case, fiber-wise pseudo-differential operators. Now, the word super refers to the fact that it actually has many components. So it has component of degree zero, which is has to be precisely our family, and it doesn't change degree of the form at all. Then component of degree one is our connection, which, for example, acted when it acts on the form on the base with values in our bundle, it increases degree of the form by one. And it can have other components, which will also raise degree of the form by two, by three, and so on. So now, actually, at this moment, there are no restrictions on what these higher components can be. So the only thing which we require is that the component of degree zero is the family itself, and component of degree one is the connection which we constructed. Okay. So now with this connection, we can define a map of complexes, which I call here phi small, which will go from the group complex with coefficients and currents. And sorry, for now I would like to assume that our gamma is trivial, so just from which would go from the currents into the cyclic complex of the cross product. Okay, and it's defined by the familiar JLO type formula. So here, well, I zero times exponent of the curvature of superconnection, and then commutators. Each of these terms is an operator on this infinite dimensional bundle, the morphous infinite dimensional bundle. Due to the fact that we have here exponents of the curvature, we do get a trace class operator. So now, since we're in the even situation and our bundle is naturally Z2 graded, we can compute a super trace of this operator, which will be a form on the base. Now we perform it for different values of parameters T0 through Tm, which range through a standard m-dimensional simplex, we average over a simplex, and then pair it with our current. Okay, and so the first, by now standard calculation, is that, well, what we get is actually a cocycle in this complex from home from currents into the cyclic complex of the functions of the total space. Okay. Now, this is not yet what would be our map P capital in this case, and the reason is the following. For some reasons, we would like to land in the periodic cyclic complex. Here, this is not the place where we land. Actually, we do land an entire complex, but this won't be really important. So we do get an infinite cochain, which is important to us, but we would like to make it finite. And for this, there is procedure devised by Konin-Moskovich, which is the following. So first of all, let me introduce the scaling of a superconnection, which will be useful for us anyway. So if we have just one operator, the standard heat kernel is exponent of negative, say, S squared D squared. Here, when we have a superconnection, it was found by Bismuth that the correct rescaling looks like this. You need to multiply operator D by S, leave the connection part alone, and then the parts which increase degree of the form have to be multiplied by very large numbers, 1 over S, 1 over S squared, and so on. So S here will be a parameter which, well, eventually will go to zero. So very small one. One verifies that the class of this map, phi small, doesn't depend on the parameter s. More precisely, we can write a specific transgression formula. We can vary s and differentiate the class of this cochain phi. So construct certain cochain tau which will satisfy this equation. Now, what is important for our truncation procedure is that high enough components of this cochain phi would go to zero when s is small, so when it's small, they're very small, and also this transgressed cochain is integrable near zero. If we would have it for every value of index L, for every component, then it would imply that the cochain phi is just a co-boundary, right? Since, well, when we vary s, its classical cohomology doesn't change. When s approaches zero, the limit is zero. So it would represent the boundary of something. Here we cannot do it since this is only true for components with high enough numbers. Components with small enough numbers will, of course, behave differently a priori. A priori they will grow to infinity. But this still allows us to... I'm sorry? No, integrable means it's a function of s, and integral, if you try to integrate this equation, it means that the function of s, it's integrable, this is actually the reason for this, so this is the truncation procedure, right? We just keep certain finite numbers, a large number in terms of our cochain in place, then one place where we do a truncation, we need to, correct it by an integral. Okay, and so this is precisely where we need this integrability near zero. Okay, and what will be important for us is that the choices which were made don't affect the cohomology class. So the choices are where the place where we truncated, as well as the choice of superconnection, which was highly non-unique. So now how to extend this construction to the general case. So here I put a zero here to signify that in our consideration so far, I assume that we don't have any group acting on anything. Okay, if no group acting on anything, this is already our cochain phi, so we are done. Now how to extend it to the case when there is a group acting. So I would like to start by constructing a cochain in this complex. So group gamma acts on this home complex here. And so to begin with, let's construct cochain here. Now notice that whatever we construct already will give us a zero group cochain with values in this complex. It doesn't depend on the group. Now it won't be a general cocycle in this complex, and the reason for this is that superconnection in general will not be invariant. If it is invariant, we are done. Now, this is an important case, so when can we choose it in an invariant fashion? So the only thing which prevents us from choosing superconnection in an invariant way is that, its component of degree one has to be the Hermitian connection in our bundle. Now, this Hermitian connection dependent on the choice of horizontal distribution. In general, these horizontal distributions cannot be chosen to be invariant. It can be chosen, though, to be invariant in cases when our action of gamma on P is free proper co-compact, right? or just proper would be enough. Okay. So now, in cases when it's not proper, we really need to go through this procedure. We need to construct higher components of this cochain to make it a cocycle. So in order to do this, we will need to make some more choices, and we will need to construct something which probably should be called simplicial superconnection. And the idea is the following. So start with any superconnection on the subversion from P to B. Act by a group element, and we get another superconnection, A superscript G. Then we can connect these two superconnections by a path of superconnections. For example, we can take they affine combination in the most naive sense, which would prove to be not exactly the right thing to do later, but we can do this. And then we can, by induction, extend it to a family of superconnections on the submersion, which would depend on K group elements and the point in the K simplex, and would need to satisfy the following compatibility conditions. So when you restrict to a face of a simplex, you should have the standard compatibility with group operations. Okay. So notice that each of the superconnections for now is on the submersion from P to B. Okay. Now, using such a family, we can construct superconnection on submersion P times simplex over B times simplex. So inflate both total space and the base by simplex and construct superconnection like this. So the important thing is that in the T directions, we would like to see only the RAM differentiation, while in the other directions, we have our family. Okay? And using this, we can now define component number K. So it's constructed as follows. Well, given K group elements, right? We have a group cochain with value and currents. So given K group elements, we have a current which we can which is what group cochain is. We lift this current to a current on B cross a simplex. Now on B cross a simplex, we apply the map which we had before, and we get a cyclic cochain on smooth functions on P cross a simplex. Now extend functions on P to a P cross simplex as constant in simplex variables, and we get certain cyclic cochain on functions on P. Okay? So in this way, we construct cochain in this complex. And now we can define our map phi sub A using the standard cup product in the group cohomology. So this is whatever we constructed so far. Now we have a map which would map this group cohomology with coefficients in cyclic complex in the cyclic complex of cross product, and we just compose them. So now, with this definition, let me try to explain why the upper triangular diagram and what I wrote is commutative. In order to do this, we need to study the short time limit of this. So we need to rescale the superconnection precisely as I showed before and see what happens with for small s. Now, at this moment, it becomes important to choose a right superconnection, since in general, in what I wrote, the higher order terms of superconnections were more or less arbitrary. Now, as it was shown, it was found first by Bismuth, unless you make a very precise choice at this moment, most likely short time limits will not exist. Okay, so the correct choice is like this. So it depends as well as again on the choice of horizontal distribution, and as defined, it has to have family D in degree 0, Hermitian connection in degree 1, and the Clifford multiplication by the curvature of our horizontal distribution of degree 2. So in other words, what this term is, you take two vectors on B using horizontal distribution. You lift them, commute, and but the commutator will a priori have some vertical component. It won't be horizontal vector anymore, since H is not integrable, and then take Clifford multiplication by this vertical component. So anyway, all of this is defined uniquely in terms of the choice of horizontal distribution H, and what would be important for us is that, since we would like to consider simplices made of the superconnection, is that the space of all this horizontal distribution has a natural affine structure. Okay. And so this is a right affine structure for us to take paths in the super in the space of superconnections. Then if we would like to, when we will construct simplices, as we had to do before, we have to use precisely the affine structure in the space of Bismuth superconnections. Okay? So to make sure that the superconnections which appear at every step in our construction will be precisely this type. Will be Bismuth superconnection for the corresponding submersion. So now if the choices are made like this, we can indeed compute the short time limit. And well, this gives us a short time limit of this map which was intermediate in our construction. And this immediately gives us part of what we want to prove. It tells us that the upper triangular diagram is commutative. So now let me try to explain how one shows the commutativity of the other part. And in order to do this, since one of the three arrows involved is bivariant Chern character, let me briefly describe how one defines it. So first of all, we start with more or less standard 2x2 trick. If our operator D would be invertible, we wouldn't really need to do this. In general, it is not so. We inflate our bundle. We take two identical copies of our bundle. We consider the algebra of pseudo-differential operators, which act fiber-wise on our submersion and have principal symbol of special form. And in general, we need them to be compactly supported. We introduce a grading on this space like this, and whenever to say anything about a cyclic complex of the algebra of the pseudo-differential operators, it will be a Z2 graded cyclic complex. So we need to take grading into account when we perform cyclic permutation. Okay, we can also form cross product of algebra of pseudo-differential operators by our group. And what we will get is a filter complex with the nature of filtration. Since of pseudo-differential operators, we have a filtration by all. And this filtration will induce a filtration on the cyclic homological complex of this cross product algebra. Okay, and filtration is useful to us since if we have an element, cyclic chain of which is in low enough filtration, we can use it to define a super trace of it. So in other words, we have a super trace map of complexes from negative enough filtration into the cyclic homological complex of the cross product algebra. Okay, now in most standard way we would like to manufacture a quasi homomorphism out of our operators. So in other words, we first of all frame our operator by negative order operators to make it invertible, so which was kind of the whole point of doubling the bundle is to make sure that we can invert our operator. Okay, then the inverse of this matrix is given explicitly by this formula, and with this we can define a two homomorphism from the cross product algebra into by Psi sub G, I denote the cross product of pseudo differential operator by the group gamma. Okay, so these two homomorphisms are defined like this, and it is easy to see that the difference will land in the operators of order negative one. So in a sense, it should be thought of as quasi-homomorphism. It's very close to quasi-homomorphism in the sense of Kunz. And this is the starting ingredient for Viktor Nister's construction. Okay, so first we can define our first approximation for the bivariant Chern character. It will be a map from the cyclic homological complex of the cross product into the negative first filtration of this cross product, and it is defined just as a half of difference between these two homomorphisms. And I need to take half, since really what this is not just index of D, but rather index of D minus index of D star. Or D is self-adjoint operator, which has positive and negative parts, and then what I did, I used both of them. Actually, it turns out to be very useful to symmetrize this index in this way. Okay, so this actually was constructed by Wang, and then Victor Nister showed how one can improve this construction, namely replace this map by one which would land in arbitrary low filtration and be homotopic to the one which we started with. Okay, so now we can define bivariant chain character as follows. So we use this Victor Nister map to land in sufficiently low filtration and then apply supertrace. So in this essay, we will land in the cyclic homological complex of the cross product. So now, at this moment, we can use any superconnection for the commutativity of the lower triangle, not necessarily the Bismuth one. So notice that we can repeat the same construction using just the connection part instead of whole superconnection. So why don't we get a cyclic cycle on the cross product of functions by gamma? Well, the reason is that at a certain moment we had to take a trace of an operator, and exponent of curvatures of connection won't be of trace class, so supertrace would not be defined. But nevertheless, we can use the same cycle and plug in pseudo-differential operators checked along the fibers. Provided the order is negative enough, we will get something of trace class, and the formula will give us something which is well-defined. And so the first step is to verify that the map which we obtain in this way, which goes into the dual of sufficiently negative filtration, agrees with the supertrace map, to verify commutativity of this triangle. And the next step is to verify that this map defined in terms of connection only agrees with the map defined using superconnection. This can be roughly be made by homotoping between connection and superconnection, and carefully checking that we get something of a trace class at every stage. And then combining this diagram with this diagram, we of course immediately get commutativity of the lower part of our diagram, and this finishes the proof of the theorem and my talk. Thank you.
Reimbursement with you can find the form downside.